There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Masaba Gupta. Each week on How I Masaba from Luminary, I talk to one incredible woman about how they do, well, them. These are the inspirational mindsets, necessary daily practices, and only funny in hindsight experiences that have defined and continue to drive our culture's greatest. For a public figure, there's an unwritten rule that says their personal life is confined to some extremely private moments, and everything else that they go through, they do so in the public eye. Social media is just another platform where there's almost an expectation for these public figures to give people not just a glimpse, but a window into their lives. Some embrace this level of access completely, while others do so with a bit of trepidation. My guest today, however, is someone who has managed to set her own rules. As a creator and one of the most recognizable faces in the digital ecosystem, she has carved a niche for herself on her own terms. She wears her heart on her sleeve and is open about her need to set boundaries. A vocal advocate for mental health awareness, especially in the entertainment industry, she has never shied away from using her platform to push a cause she believes in. She's also one of the funniest people I know. Today, I'm speaking to Malika Dua. I'm going to start with something that you've mentioned a few times in your interviews, that you think of yourself as an actor and not a comic. Now, with actors in our industry, there's just so much said about how people break into the industry, right? With you, obviously, you broke into pop culture through tremendous success on social media. And then almost as a natural progression, the acting came and that happened. When you started making videos online, was this always the path that you had planned?
I actually had no plan, absolutely. I was quietly working as a copywriter in Delhi. And I had a degree in theatre, in acting, because I always loved being on stage and I loved performing. That said, there was no industry like this back then. You know, even up until 2014, there was nothing that was happening. And then 2014 afterwards, there was maybe two or three comedy collectives that were doing things online. But I was very happy just doing my job, getting my salary, and then doing theater whenever I had the time. And it just so happened that I happened to write and act in one video online. And that just went viral because I didn't know that's how the internet behaves. And things just followed after that, you know. For me, it was a natural progression of that Kira that I had inside me, the same antics I do on stage. I found myself doing those online, and I called myself an actor first because I never really nurtured a dream of being a comedian, mainly because the role models that we had for comedians were very different. They were often stereotyped. They were very brilliant and talented, but they found themselves being stereotyped, you know, into just one kind of role or one kind of film or that stock character that the narrative is going somewhere, but this character is doing their own thing only in the film. Like, that was comedy. So I never really thought of myself as a comedian. It was always that I'm performing. Even if it's a caricature and not a character, it's still a part of developing that. And I counted it as acting more than anything else.
Right. Got it. So, you know, you said something about salary, right? And how does one make that shift in their head, right? When you're making money every month, it's coming into your account and there's that security, there's that stability. How do you make that mental shift when you do something like you're doing now, which is very kind of, achha, kaam mil gaya, to mil gaya, paise aa gaye. Otherwise, you're just kind of, you know, you're auditioning or you're
trying to land a gig. I mean, it's the same with most parts of this industry. So how do you make that mental shift to be okay with that uncertainty?
Right, to begin with, I wasn't earning much at all in advertising. I was barely earning anything. But I think when you don't know what you can make as a freelancer, you look at the security of a job as obviously a better option, and understandably so. So I, in fact, when I had a meeting with this agency, they wanted to rep me, and I didn't even know what that is about. And I was like, ye kya hota hai? Like, I thought we do stupid things and we go home and then we do actual jobs, you know? And they were like, no. See, this company, this AIB, this guy, this comedian, they make this, that. And I was like, and I genuinely had very practical questions. Because I was like, listen, this is my salary right now. Will I make this every month plus rent? And that person who I was meeting started laughing. They said, oh, of course. And I didn't believe them at all. I thought they were just pitching. So I actually had an arrangement before I moved to Bombay, where I told them, I said, listen, this is my rent. And I can only take 20,000 from my parents for the next 2-3 months. Because at that point, my father had lost his job a few years ago, you know, like on mainstream television, because of the climate and everything. So there wasn't like money coming in. There was just savings. So I was like, yeah, I can't take money from home. So you have to do one thing. And I actually got that arrangement where I told him, I said, every month, you have to transfer 55,000 to my account, which you keep deducting from what you make for me as an agency. And they were giggling when I asked for that. But they said, of course we will and all. I said, but I need this. Please try to understand, because I have no reserves and I have to pay rent and everything in Bombay. So I actually had that arrangement for the first 3 months. After which, of course, God was very kind and work took off, etc. But like, I give this advice to everyone. Like, if you are scared of losing the stability and security of a salary, then you must try a hybrid model for a while. Because no one deserves to have either their financial independence taken away for the sake of artistic freedom, or the latter, or artistic freedom taken away for the sake of financial independence. And this is one way where you can kind of have both till you know which path you actually like.
No, that's good, because I think then the shift sort of has happened in your head already, right? You're just like, yeah, that's taken care of and now I can focus on my work.
Correct.
Yeah. Good advice. Good advice. So Malika, you and your peers, okay, were among the first generation of so-called celebrities that broke through almost entirely on social media. It all happened there. Today, a lot of those people are still big on social media, but seem to be focused on stand-up or acting, writing, producing, etc. Now, in the age of what we call the creator economy, do you feel like for the longevity of all creators, you have to branch into more traditional forms of entertainment, or do you still see social media as a means to an end?
That's such a good question. I think it depends on what your personality is. If you're like me, who is actually a major introvert and only does all sorts of crazy things online, I think you have to have a form of passive income. You have to have, you know, a plan B of some sort. That also employs your skills, but doesn't require your mood or personality to be at its best, you know, at all times. Because I'm not someone who is that way built for the internet, where like I'm not on all the time every day. It's very spontaneous, and spontaneity just shows up when it feels like.
Wow, right? I could never tell. I can never tell that you'd have that side to you. Yeah,
that's why I'm so like infrequent, you know, that's why I'm not as consistent. But there are some people whose personalities, like what you see online, is, which is why I think I call myself an actor more than a creator, because it's a different human being. Like some people, like especially with YouTubers and stuff, what you see them as is what you get. And I think for those people showing up as they are might actually benefit, like, and being online itself and putting that same content across different platforms may help, because they're just only getting more audience. But for people who, I mean, I've found this, that as you grow older, like I think I was in my mid-20s when I started doing this, and now I'm not. And I feel very differently. I don't have that desire to put myself on display all the time. I don't have that desire to be very feisty and vociferous about my opinions. I still have them. But somehow, after a certain age, there's a shift where it becomes very internal, right?
Yeah, so you rather share within a small circle of people or your, you know, close loved ones, whatever.
Correct. So I find for people like myself, who I think grew up pre-internet and post-internet, there has to be something else that we find value in professionally, which is obviously a segue, or which is obviously a branch of what we've done online. Like, I think you're a great example of that, right? Like, you started with one thing, but you've also done multiple other things, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just not sustainable mentally to just, like, your audience will want to do the same thing and serve them the same thing over and over. But for your
how many tunics can I make?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
And then they will copy, and then someone else will do it, and then your interest will stay. So I think for your sake, like as an artist, it's important to try different things. I don't think you can plan the money as such unless you have a business acumen, which I don't have. So I think for people like me, I always say, brush up your skills. Keep doing that. Keep upskilling if you can, because if business is not where your heart lies or where your brain lies, then be so skilled that you're irreplaceable in that department.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, there used to be a time when people said, I'm not going to have plan B because I want plan A to work so well, you know. But I don't think that works anymore. You have to have plan A, B, C, possibly all happening in tandem. Like, you know, just
absolutely
together.
Also, I think it's important to now note that earlier, you know, still a few years ago, we were creating for platforms, right? But what's happening now, a lot of times online, is that the platforms and the algorithms are kind of dictating how we are supposed to create, right? So the idiom changes overnight, and you, like, I find myself a little paralyzed when it comes to, say, reels or, like, you know, outfit transition, ye wo. Suddenly, yeah, I can't do that. But that doesn't mean I don't like to dress up. That doesn't mean I don't, like, know how to and stuff. So I realized that too much dependence on one platform is maybe not such a good thing. And I think we have to keep living our lives, like our private lives, and enriching them whilst displaying our public ones.
You know, I actually posted something very similar to what you're saying. But I said that we spend so much of our time, especially like people like you and me who are in the public sort of domain, we spend so much of our lives just feeding the public image, you know. We spend maybe 2% of that feeding what happens behind the scenes. And that's what's going to last, right? Like, your public image, the validation that comes from external people will keep shifting from the next person to the next person. What are you doing when you come back home? Is that giving you peace? I say that to a lot of young people.
Like, are you at ease with who you are? Because I see this in a lot of creators, right? Because it's very easy, dopamine, na, ki maine kuch dala, X number of X lakhs of people laughed at it. So it's funny, and so I feel good about myself today. And then if they don't, you go down this whole self-doubt spiral. But again, I go back to age, because I find myself enjoying things privately more now, somehow. It's not really good for business, but I'm hoping to find some middle ground here.
Just once you hit 30, you're like, listen, this can all happen in private. It's fine.
Yeah. Everything can happen in private.
Everything can happen in private.
Like, rich and anonymous is the new goal. It used to be rich and famous. Now it's just rich and anonymous.
Rich and anonymous. I like this. But tell me, you know, because you found so much of your success online, I'm just going to talk about that a little bit more. How do you tell yourself? Because, okay, so I have a theory that there's a big difference between success and fame. Okay. And in today's day and age, what's happened is that it's kind of become kind of interlinked, and somebody who's just famous for being famous is famous. And somebody who's very, very good at what they're doing is not necessarily famous, but they are very successful. Do you draw that line in your head? Because it's very easy for again, people like you and me to be happy with what we put out on social media and then say 10 likes, not 10. Well, that's rubbish these days. 10,000 likes. You know, our reel has been shared so and so times. So we're only checking insights. How do you protect yourself from insights and the difference between success and fame?
I'm a very extreme case. I'm very, like, violently against insights, because I feel it takes us back to that time where we were slotted into the cutoff system in school. Ki this iske marks achhe to ye smart hai, ye bewakoof hai. But it's actually just a metric. It's just a unit that you've invented to make your life easy as a brand or as an agency. Because that saves you the work of seeing us as individuals and analyzing us. You know, so you put us into one box. And I actually just resist that. So anytime there is a branded inquiry, pehle toh wo baad mein insights maangte the na. Nowadays, there's a new thing where give us insights before also. And like, if you want the numbers, there are a lot of numbers out there, right? There's a lot of people doing work that that like pleases the insights or whatever. And like, I won't be able to do that, and I can't guarantee that either. Purely because I wasn't born out of that system, right? I just picked up my phone and I started doing things basis what I'd learned and experienced. And that's kind of my process even now. So I feel that if I try to pander to the whole insight and numbers game, I don't do very well, and it distracts me and it discourages me. So for me, like what you said, I very consciously try and remind myself of what success is, you know. Most people don't, like most people see a person's growth as, acha iske itne followers bade, you know. They won't see ki iski health itni better hui. They won't see iski mental health itni better hui. Or, you know, did this person change any patterns in their personality through the years? Did this person manage to keep their sanity intact despite the fame or whatever? Those are just our metrics of success are very warped at this point. So I keep reminding myself that I'm like, the actual work of growth is not something that can be tracked by insights, right? And if there are people who find you inspiring or worth following or worth listening to or whatever, it may have reasons that go far beyond just that one video that you posted, right? And everything cannot be quantified. So I don't believe in numbers equaling success. I get why brands would, but I'm like, you do you, because I think this whole system was born out of people who did not conform to being boxed and, you know, being turned into a number. So I'm like, but it's going back to that now again. But I guess I think that's just a sign for us that now look for whatever is next.
But you have films, you have shows, you have web series, everything under your belt. I want to talk to you about your process, right? People may or may not know that you are actually a theater major. So the world of acting is obviously not new to you. What I really want to get into is the fact that as a creator, you shoulder a lot of creative responsibility on your own, right? It's just you or maybe a small team, I'm sure. But being on a set of a film or a show is obviously very, very different. There's just so many people, right? There's like 35 people telling you the same thing on a set. But it's also a very collaborative thing, right? There's a director, there's a producer, there's a first AD, et cetera, et cetera. Was that a big transition for you to just sort of also let go of some of that creative control? Because what I was doing on the sets of Masaba was that I said, ye cushion yahan pe theek nahi hai, isko hatao. And they're like, you're not the art director. And I'm like, I'm used to doing that for my own brand, right? And I'm like, ye ladki ka costume itna kharab kyun hai? And they were like, you're not on costume on this set. Could you cut that? Could you break that link and collaborate?
Initially, I had a little bit of a tough time where I would, you know, I came from training in this industry, right? Usually people start small, wo kuch karte, phir kuch karte, phir wo AD karte, kuch aur karte. I literally just landed aise. So I landed as a real idealist. Like I didn't know how tough it is, right? It's complete chaos out here. And it is what it is, you know? And it takes a few years and a few burned bridges before you realize that there's no point trying to change anything. You literally just have to look at your department and bounce, unless you are also the co-producer on this. So initially when I came, I was very like, what is this writing, yaar? What is this? Aise thodi koi karta hai. Aise thodi koi. Like I was in my audience will not believe I do this and all that. And I've been lucky that I've been told to rewrite my lines all the time, every time I'm on set. Because it's unfortunately, I don't get non-comedy work as such. So when it's comedy, I'm asked to just make it my own, you know? So that way I get that freedom. But so I have to really talk to myself and tell myself that, you know, do not comment on the styling, do not comment on something else. Because, see, I'm a creative person and these are my interests anyway. I'm interested in, like, what clothes I'm wearing. I'm interested in how things are written and, you know, things like that. But ek to comedy mein itna kuch zyada hota nahi, where you have to get into it. It's just character clothing. The lines I'm always told to make my own. But I stopped getting into things like logic now. Ki is character ka arc kya hai and all. Like now I laugh at myself when I used to do that stuff back in the day. I really used to, like, you know, when people used to pitch a script saying ki aapka na ye track hai is episode mein, mereko lagta tha ki actually mein track hai, but wo track nahi hota, wo bas ek I think close up hota hai for 3 seconds usko sab character track samajhte. But so I've realized one thing, that you just show up, do your best, and you bounce. Because if you put too much of your expectation into it, it's a machinery. There's like 30,000 other people controlling it. There's no point trying to expect the world. And if you really do, then you have to become a producer, which I don't want to right now. So
thank God. It's a hard and I think also a very thankless job.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of, like, it takes a very thick skin. And I don't have that right now. But I have to say, I actually like being on set where the burden of writing is on someone else and I show up as a performer. And then I can elevate the script as opposed to making something from nothing. I'm a little exhausted with that right now.
That's good. That's good. I feel like, you know, it was very nice for me as well, because especially on Modern Love, actually, because I also wasn't playing myself, right? And I was not like, "Arey, ye lehenge ka latkan kharab lag raha hai," you know, it's not into it. But I just found it meditative. I actually told someone that. I said, I find being on set so meditative because I'm not bothered about the back end. I am just performing and I'm just wearing beautiful clothes and glamorous makeup and I'm very happy.
Yeah, it is very, I mean, actors ka job sabse easy hota hai set pe. And like, I mean, it is difficult in its own way, but it's also very like, when you're doing your job, it's, you get to be one with whatever it is that makes you that good makes at your you. Job. And it's something inside.
Complete.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Malika, tell me about the fact that you don't like networking, because welcome to the club, because I hate networking. I absolutely, and I know a lot of people think that I'm like a, you know, social butterfly and all of that, but I completely dislike that. And I feel like, I was telling my mother, I said, you're so lucky. आपके टाइम में तो निकल गया, आप अच्छे एक्टर थे, मुझे तो नेटवर्किंग करनी पड़ेगी एंड दिस एंड दैट. एंड देन आई सेड माय फादर आल्सो जस्ट प्लेड क्रिकेट एंड डिडंट टॉक टू एनीवन एंड वॉक्ड ऑफ इन यू नो इनटू द ड्रेसिंग रूम एंड इट्स फाइन बिकॉज ही इज सच अ ग्रेट क्रिकेटर. बट माय मदर आल्सो टोल्ड मी दैट लिसन, नेटवर्किंग से कुछ काम नहीं मिलता कभी. इट्स नॉट लाइक यू विल वॉक इनटू अ पार्टी एंड समवन विल ऑफर यू वर्क. बट व्हाट्स योर टेक ऑन नेटवर्किंग, बिकॉज यू आर आल्सो in that stage in your career, I'm sure, where you're meeting lots of people, you know, you're doing multiple things. Do you believe in, okay, let my work speak for itself? Or do you think that it's important to also do that networking, even if you dislike it?
I would love to be able to network, but it is so, so far away from who I am as a person. It's so far. And for me, even showing up for a party that I'm invited to, I need to have a few shots to like exist in that party, which I can't anymore. You know, but I've seen where networking, like hardcore networking, lands people. But I also have to say that I don't know if it's them going way out of their comfort zone. It's just their personality to be this overly social, on DMs with everybody, constantly WhatsApping people, seeing them at events, posing with them, flattering them. Like, I feel that if that's what comes to you naturally, then aap hi kar sakte ho. But like, I could never ever. Like, I've tried doing this thing where you message your director and tell them you like their work. But then they'll tell you, they're like, your work can finish. Uske baad kya hoga? I'll really even say, I really want to work with you. But at the end of the day, I really don't know what gets people those gigs, you know? Whether it's casting people liking you, whether it is, I don't know, you producing a short film where you show some other skill that you didn't have. But I agree with your mom, who's incredible, by the way, that he nahi hota kuch beyond the point. At least for people who are not naturally like hyper social, it can only get you like so much. Ki acha kisi ne aapko dekh liya. So one thing I made it a point to do was when I moved back last year to Bombay, after the pandemic and after everything that happened in our family, I made it a point to message everybody because I felt that people didn't know that I was willing to work again. You know, they didn't know that I was okay or like, was I up to take up any work or stuff like that. So I was like, ye karna padega, taki logo ko ye na lage ki, matlab, kaam pe nahi aayengi wapas, you know. But for me, I can operate from that logic. But for me, just networking, like I've tried 3 or 4 PR companies, okay? And I don't keep them for more than 2 months because I'm like, I can't. It's nahi hoga. Main kisi se baat nahi kar sakti. Main taiyar nahi ho sakti. Gym to jaate hai, meko koi dekhe na better hai. But like, this animal is not for me. So I have to just be okay with who I am.
But that's nice that you thought that people should know that I'm ready. That leads me to my next question. You spoke about this event that happened. We all sort of saw it unravel on social media as well with both your parents who, by the way, I think whenever I see a picture of your mom, I just feel so much joy because she was just such, I mean, I never met her, but whatever photos that I see, it's just so much joy. But tell me, as somebody who is inherently always looking for the funny side of a situation, right? That's a part of your job, the humor in everything, how to make light of everything. How do you make light of an event like this in your personal life? Or do you make light? Or do you say that I'm going to grieve and I'm going to go through my emotion the way I should? And you're not trying very hard to make it funny or comical and brush it under the carpet. How was that for you?
I think we did equal parts of both. Because my sister and I, we have a very naturally dark sense of humor, okay? And it's so dark that we can't share it online. But I think we get this from our dad, where chahe kitna bhi bura kuch ho na, you can still laugh at it. You can still like find that light inside you and go like, kya hai ye? This is a circus at the end of the day that we're experiencing. Of course, when you're going through something, you don't find anything funny. But when you have enough distance from it, and these things exist side by side, I don't think there's any replacement for processing what you're feeling. And you have to process that every day because there'll be days it won't show up. And there'll be days it'll hit you in the face when you just least expect it, right? So I make it, and I'm very lucky, I have to say, because my sister's actually a clinical psychologist. So it's always been a very open conversation in our house, mental health, you know? And I've never been afraid of expressing myself. I was regular with therapy throughout. And my sister and I, when we talk about it, we have a very healthy and dark sense of humor when we talk about things. But how else do you cope, you know? And I think we get this from my dad. He would make fun of everything. Like, he was a very serious person in his job, but he was very irreverent. And we were lucky enough that he left us with all of that inside us. So it's both. It's, yeah.
That's amazing. That's also something that I was told very young, that if you can laugh at yourself and everything that's happening around you, you will emerge someday very strong. But I really want to, I was telling someone, I said, if I could be like, who was the Time Magazine Person of the Year? This is for last year, by the way. I would say Malika Dua because I was just like,
oh my God.
No, really. I mean, I think I give your example to anyone. Some girl comes to me crying, somebody comes to me complaining about something, I'm like, go to Malika Dua's Instagram right now. If she can make light of that situation, you have no business, you know? So it's just, I don't know, it's just I see, and I never used to, like, I look forward to your posts now because I just feel like there's so much hope. And it's not fake. It's not you trying to be someone else. So congratulations on that. That's a huge, huge...
Thank you. And I have to say that, I mean, I'm not just saying this to reciprocate, but I genuinely look to you for all the motivation that I need because when it comes to being healthy, looking after myself, having a schedule, I'm nowhere near that. I see you're very organized and, you know,
organized.
I think you're a workaholic, which
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
So I try and tell myself that har koi nahi kar pata itna kuch ek din mein. But I've very closely observed your fitness journey for many years. And I know how much you like food. So I always tell myself that she eats. I've seen in her stories of fried chicken bhi khai thi, but wo phir smashed it thi ja ke gym mein.
Ja ke,
so you better go, there's no excuse.
Wo bas ek yeah. baar utke gym chale jao, baki everything will take care
Correct.
Of itself. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's somewhere, you never regret a workout. So that's
never.
What I tell myself. I'm like, you must go.
Haan, utna yeah. kar lo, baki enjoy life and smile through it.
Absolutely.
Okay, you've spoken about the need for all creative people to spend the time to just work on their skills, brush up their skills. You said that before itself. But as someone who's been through the grind of feeding the algorithm as well, how do you find the bandwidth to do that, to brush up your skills? Do you spend time? We're just talking about routines right now, but do you make time actively for that?
I don't currently, and I'm struggling with it because it's, I think we're all somewhere stuck in a very messy addiction cycle, especially people whose jobs don't require them to step away from the internet, like literally. So what I find myself doing is I think about it a lot, but then I end up scrolling, you know, infinitely. But I do feel that, like, I really respect people in this profession who take a break and who go abroad to study, or, you know, who have the guts to announce I'm vanishing. Well, there's a stand-up comic friend of mine, and he said, and I was amazed when I was chatting with him because, and he's one of the top stand-up comics in India, okay? And he said ki, meri to puri team ko pata hai ki main koi branded work, koi film, kuch nahi lunga main. Unko pata hai, kuch laate bhi nahi hai mere paas jab main likh raha hota. And that day he put up a story saying, this is for everyone. I will not be taking up any branded work, any films, any games, anything till end of 2023. And I'm like, this is amazing, you know, like, this is being process driven more than, you know, ki money ya goal ya dopamine ya name and all. I don't have that yet because I got it when I didn't expect it. So I'm still kind of used to like I still feel it can also vanish randomly. So I'm actually working on my relationship with my work where I'm like, it's okay if you step away. And even if you're reading for like 10 days straight, the world will not change. You know, you will only come back changed and better. But that is a huge thing on my to-do list in life. I think it doesn't happen so easily. We just keep observing those stray gap, at least in my world.
I also wanted to ask you, you know, I used to know this stand-up comic, and he was telling me, not him actually, his ex-wife was telling me that the reason that marriage broke was because at every sort of gathering or public event or when they were with friends having dinner, he used to make her the butt of all his jokes. Okay. And it was very charming at first. Obviously, I think that's also what brought them together. And then eventually it became exhausting because she realized that he was just that fun, charming, cool person using her to crack those jokes. But then at home, he was actually a very dark, almost borderline depressive soul. But how hard or how easy is dating for you? Because you're a public person with a personality, right? But do you feel like when you go on dates, is it weird that you have people come up and be like, hey, but I saw that video of yours and like, can we talk about that? Or are you able to completely shut that out?
Firstly, I barely go on dates. And when I do... And that's a struggle in itself. But when I do, I think my worry is more like, you may expect that funny, crazy, wow, wow girl. But actually what you'll get is one quiet, shy, reserved, mostly disinterested human being. Like, I'm just like, you don't know who you're going to get. So I don't know what you're expecting. And that's one thing. The other is, I think just having to literally, sometimes I prefer dating non-comics because at least there's no pressure, you know. There's no pressure of them judging you professionally or them, or you even having to, like, I feel I would be a little scared to discuss what is happening work-wise. I don't know, because it's not a very secure group of people, because I think this profession is so new, right? Not comedy, but this weird hybrid model. That somewhere the lines are very murky, you know. It's very strange. So, I mean, I have a hard time showing people who I am. Like, you know, before I moved to Bombay, I don't know why I was on some dating app and I found this guy. And we started dating right before I moved to Bombay. And suddenly my life just changed, you know. And I had to go long distance with this guy and try to understand what's going on. Like, back then, I was like, I don't want to date a normie. Like, that sounds horrible.
Normie?
What I mean is a person who's... Yeah. What I mean is a person who's not from the camera-facing weird industry. Because I was like, "Woh toh samajh nahi payega mere saath kya ho raha hai." You know? Because he used to ask me, "What happened today?" And I used to be like, "Main kya bataun? Like, where do I start? Like, how do I even express what the hell happened?"
Kya nahi hua is the question today.
Kya nahi hua? And a lot of times, he thinks that I don't do anything and I just get paid. I'm like, firstly, no. Secondly, maybe sometimes. Thirdly, you will not understand what this entails. And a lot of our arguments would be, I'd be like, you know, you're busy, you don't take my calls. And, or I'm like, no, why can't you take off today? I asked him. He's like, can you miss a shoot? I'm like, it's very different. You don't understand. Shoot is not what... He's like, no, you don't understand. It's the same thing. So dating was a bit like that. Now, just meeting people, I'm like... I think now my criteria has little to do with my professional life. But now I'm stuck in a place where I'm like, how do I date someone who didn't know my parents? You know, then you don't know me. So now it's that reluctance has just set in. But then obviously my therapist is like, they'll know them through you and all. I'm like, maybe, let's see. I don't know.
Oh, wow. That's a deep one.
Yeah. Very deep. I'm just like, maybe I should find someone from high school and just roll with that.
Yeah. Safe, tried and tested.
Yeah, correct.
I'm going to jump into a few questions that I just have to know, which you can treat as short answers or you can elaborate, whatever you like. Okay. You are someone that likes new challenges. I want to know, what was the last new skill that you've picked up?
The last new skill that I picked up? It's a great question. I think I would, because a skill takes time to develop, I think I'd call it boxing. Like, though it's been a few years that I've been boxing, but I don't think I'm terrible, like, for a non-professional person. And I think that's something I like so much that I miss it when I don't do it, you know? And I find myself very interested when I see other people also doing it, and I'm proud of, because there was no physical activity in my childhood. It was just not a part of who I am.
So
I think that's
great.
One skill I'm happy.
That's great that you're picking yourself up now. Because some people say that if you never worked out as a kid, you'll never do it once you're like above 25. But you are a live example, obviously, of the fact that this is not true.
I don't do it too well, because I saw your story one day, said 150 burpees. I said, who are these? I can do 30 and I die. Like, who does 150 burpees? Who are these people?
Oh, God. No. It's tough. It's everything.
She's clearly an athlete. Like, obviously, genetically, she's an athlete. But, like, otherwise also.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, if we had to look behind the curtain, what's the one thing about being a creator that the world doesn't know?
The one thing about being a creator that the world doesn't know is that it's very hard to be one if you're not inherently a narcissist. because you feel very reluctant putting yourself out there. Your things that motivate you are not those outward things that I want my name everywhere or I want X number of people to like me. It's just a very undescribable feeling that you get. Maybe it's dopamine, I don't know what it is. But people just have this image that anybody who's camera facing is very vain or is very self-obsessed or very narcissistic. And that's not always the case. And that's why I think the same expectations are placed on everyone that, oh, ye to itna kar rahi hai, tum se itna kar rahi types. You know? Suddenly people realize that your personality plays a big role in what you create.
True. Social media is this weird place where all the feedback gets amplified. The love, the hate, everything. But in real life, what's the weirdest feedback that you've got for one of your performances?
Asava, there's so many and all of them have been filtered out, forgotten, whatnot. What is the weirdest thing I've ever seen? Wow. I don't remember the weirdest, but I think the most frequent one is aap screen pe to bade mote lagte ho, but real life mein to bade chote se ho aap.
Same. What is with people?
They're like, I just don't understand.
They're like, oh, you're so petite. Petite.
Yeah, petite. I'm very petite.
Petite.
Yeah. Yeah. Ye kya logic hai, bhai? Koi kuch feedback dene ko de do.
Haan, wo body pe atke hai. Sari duniya body pe atke hai.
Yeah.
Tell me about the first time you got recognized in public.
I was in Khan Market, Delhi ka favorite Khan Market. And just a regular evening and I was okay. And then there was this guy in a leather jacket walking in front of me. And I was just checking him out like I would. And then we crossed. And then peeche se awaaz aati hai, hey, you're that girl in that video, na? And I'm like, for a second, I was like, kaun sa video? And I was like, oh, yeah. And then he's like, you're damn funny, man. You're so good. And I was like, oh, shit, ye kya ho gaya? Like, I couldn't believe it. Because I was used to my dad being stopped and people talking to him. I was like, mere ko koi rok raha, I can't believe this. So it was that. I mean, a couple of times, people would come up to me saying, we saw your play. But there was like very handful, you know, like somebody came twice removed. But this was the first time I was recognized for a video and I was like in shock. I was like, hey, ye kaise ho gaya?
Ye ho gaya, huh? That's that. Yeah. And you're almost like, are you talking to me? You know, it's just that weird.
I was like shocked. And then I remember just being in Khan Market that day with the widest smile on my face for like the next 2 hours. I was so happy and ghar jaake I'm telling my dad. And he was also so happy. Of course, he was like, mai to zindagi aise biti hai types. But I was like, wo aapko pata hai kya hua? It's like, so I'm very happy.
And last question. What, according to Malika Dua, is the future of the internet?
Ooh, that's deep.
That's a heavy one. I just thought of it. I don't know why I thought of it.
Wow. I think the future of the internet, very, very simply put, is authenticity, which means that if your authenticity translates to something very prolific, where you can keep churning out content, where you have this urge inside you, ki main chup hi nahi ho sakta ya ho sakti ya, whatever, then that is you. But I feel that people are going to have to increasingly move into niches of who they specifically are. And even if that means that they cannot attract like insane numbers, they will have an audience. Like I feel the internet will always give everyone a voice. But you shouldn't, so long as you don't compare that voice to another person's voice, you know, and you don't quantify it in comparison to another person's. I feel the future of the internet is more and more honesty, because I think people are now starting to get a little jaded with what's going on. Like everything is too curated. See, as everything does, it's going to go in both extremes. It's going to get really bad before it gets anything else. But I do feel that people, like at least for myself, when I go online and when I see everything, the only thing that motivates me to do is speak the truth. You know, it doesn't motivate me to clean up my act and come up as someone too perfect. And at least I'm going more and more in that direction. Maybe the younger ones, like maybe kids who have their phones right now, I don't know what examples they're seeing, what they're going to show up as. But eventually, I think you're going to show up as who you are, whatever that may be.
I think the one thing that I've learned from you now speaking to you and also sort of following you from afar for so many years is that you live with so much hope. And I'm not talking about that fraudulent, rubbish intellectual version of hope. You know, you live with the actual human version of hope. And you give that to so many people. You're the daughter of two incredibly powerful, wonderful, gentle people who I admire. And it's an honor to know you. And more importantly, I like that you believe in plan B, C, D, whatever it takes. So Malika Dua, whatever it takes, she will do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Asawa. And I have to say, like, beyond cliches, you're an incredibly, incredibly solid girl. And I learn from you every day in ways you also probably don't know. And you're a very, very big inspiration. And you're one of the few people who lets only her work talk.
Yes.
And, you know, doesn't yell from rooftops. Hey, you know.
I have arrived on Viral Bayani's page.
Jab koi kaam aata hai, tabhi hum Masaba ka naam sunte, which is what I like. I'm just like, that's good.
This is nice.
Which is so important. It's rare, right? Like, there's...
Warna bekar mein to PR sab kar rahe hai na. Khud ki.
Correct.
Haan.
So that's great.
In the next episode of How I Masaba, I am speaking to the globally acclaimed filmmaker, Meera Nair.
You were listening to How I Masaba only on Luminary. The podcast is produced by Monisha Singh Katyal and Rainshine Entertainment. Kritika Bajaj is our creative producer and Palash Kulkarni is our executive producer. The research for this episode was done by Anushka Mukherjee. The mix engineer for this episode is Ankit Thakur. Artist management by Versus Entertainment LLP. The music supervisor for the episode is Ankur Srivastav. The episode was recorded at Bayout Studios, Mumbai.